Hello, everyone, and welcome to So What Happens Next, Small Screens. I am one of your hosts, Thomas.
I'm Amber.
And this week we are kicking off our Connected to Christmas Marathon. In where we watch movies that are not about Christmas, but have Christmas going on next to them. I guess, if that makes sense. Hopefully the theme for this month will make sense as we go on. I don't know, Amber, does that make sense to you?
Like, yeah.
Movies where Christmas happens, but like, it's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we're not watching like the Santa Claus or something like that.
Polar Express.
Oh, God.
Oh. That CGI nightmare.
That belongs in a spooky Halloween countdown. Anything here. But yeah, so we're kicking it off. Amber over here with her sporty Christmas sweater. Just have to point that out to everybody listening to this. Looks great, by the way.
Thank you.
Polar bears and shit. But we're kicking it all off with the 1984 classic, Gremlins.
Okay, how about yourself?
Doing pretty darn good. So at the top of the show, I just want to apologize for the lateness of this episode. I know we said we were going to get started last week, but a ton of technical difficulties decided to crop up in our recording environment. Lack of internet will do that to you. But the two of us are coming off of Chicago's very own Comic-Con C2E2. Fresh or tired, depending on how you look at it. And we're jumping right in with Gremlins. So we got a heavy dose of nostalgia and looking at all, there's a lot more Gremlin-related things at that show this year than I was expecting. And I'm not sure if it's because we watched this movie recently or what. But let's dive into it. Amber. Have you ever seen Gremlins before now? Like, were you familiar with Gremlins before we watched it the other day?
Oh, many times.
Oh, okay. So you grew up with this film?
Yes.
Yeah, same here. I remember my mom introducing it to us when we were kids and being like, this is Gremlins. And then, like, absolutely agree, in hindsight, kind of a little bit of a backtrack on, like, if this movie's okay to show little kids, we'll get more into it as we go ahead and continue with the plot. But Amber, if you could give me a quick back of the DVD cover, you know, what's the overarching premise of Gremlins?
So the premise of Gremlins is basically this kid has a dad who's an inventor. He goes off and does inventor things, and it's around Christmas, and so he's like, ah, I gotta bring something back for, you know, my kid. Kids? Yeah.
It's kids. Yeah, I think Billy's the only kid.
Oh, gotcha. So I gotta bring something back for my kid. And he ends up in this kind of Chinatown area.
Right.
And he comes upon this guy store who definitely looks like he's some type of like kung fu master. Like he's got like the long beard, one eye is like blind.
Milky. Yeah.
And he's looking around the shop and he sees this thing like singing out of a box. And he's like, whoa, this is really cool. And he's like, I need to have this. And the guy is just like, you can't have that. Like Mogwai, like Mogwai, I guess he has named this thing and the name is Mogwai. And he's like, Mogwai is not for sale.
Yeah.
And so he just like turns him away. And so guy leaves, he's like, I guess I can't get anything from my kid or whatever, or I'll just find something elsewhere.
Because he goes to shell out money.
Yeah, hardcore. He even like tries to bribe him.
200 1984 American dollar dues.
Yeah.
Like freedom bucks, in today's money, that's at least like $1,000.
Yeah. Right?
Like someone out there do the math, $200 in 1984 money, that's got to be like $1,000.
Yeah.
I can rent anything I want.
But I guess the grandpa's grandkid comes out with basically saying, hey, like, you were interested in like Mogwai, are you still interested? And he's like, yeah, of course. And so kid brings it out and takes the money.
Yeah.
Which I'm just like, that's some, you got some balls, kid.
Well, I think, okay, so let's freeze it there. First of all, the way this movie starts is so weird, right? Like how it starts like a noir detective movie where the dad is like narrating and he's like, yeah, well, you know, Christmas Eve, 1984, like I was looking out on the, I'm an inventor of different things. My name's this and I'm looking for something for my kid. And that's what led, our story begins in Chinatown. And I'm just like, what is this movie? But you're right. Like, I got the impression, though, that the kid, that the dad's store wasn't doing too hot. Right? Yeah. So the kid was trying to get people to go shop at his grandfather's store because their family needed money, I guess?
Yeah.
Because, like, it's sketchy as shit looking store. Like, not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's not one of the stores you, like, normally go to, or you go there for, like, a very specific thing.
Yeah, his store is, like, super sketchy. Like, he even asks, and I never noticed this as a kid, is, like, the kid brings him down into this, like, basement area, and the dad's like, you sure this is your grandpa's store? Like, at this point, he has concerns. And the kid's like, yeah, man, it's just come on inside. It's really cool. And I'm like, this looks like a place you would die. This kid is like to get rid of your sense of...
Yeah, or they sell you like hard drugs or something like that.
You want to buy some death sticks?
You don't want to sell me death sticks.
I don't want to sell you death sticks.
You want to go home and rethink your life.
I want to go home and rethink my life.
But yeah, so the kid sells them. I think that's what I thought, though, was like... He sold him the Mogwai because his parents need money, and he's throwing down 200 freedom bucks. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's a lot of money.
It is.
I guess back then, I assume if someone was like, here's $200 for this thing. Yeah,
that could feed people for, like, months.
Right.
Whereas now, it feeds you for a couple of days.
Like a week.
A week at most.
If you're smart about it, like a week. Yeah, so... he gets the Mogwai and he goes home with it. And it's cute. Like, it's really, like, I love the way they set up Gizmo is the name of the Mogwai ultimately. But, like, I just like the way it's, like, he's, like, doing a little, like, singing in the thing.
Yeah.
And then he can, like, kind of talk. And he's, like, what is it? And he's, like, it's a Mogwai. And he's, like, Mogwai. It's, like, really cool. Like,
yeah,
just like
I can see the appeal now.
Yeah, in the beginning.
Yeah, looking at you, Lucasfilms.
Oh, yeah.
With your...
Ewoks.
Yeah, Ewoks. And yeah. Eventually Baby Yoda.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this Baby is like, Yoda is like...
This is a proto Baby Yoda all the way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is like dawn of the Baby Yoda. But yeah, so he gets home. Or we're introduced to Billy, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the part that I thought was kind of weird, because like you were saying, like, oh, because in the beginning the dad's like narrating, he's like, I was trying to find a present for my kid, and it makes it sound like Billy is like 12. Billy's like 22. Like, he's got to be like 20 plus years old.
Yeah,
because he is regularing a bar in a small town. He works at a bank. He doesn't seem like he goes to school at all.
No.
And just like, yeah, like, we're introduced to Billy where he's, like, trying to get his car started, and you meet his neighbor, who's a very famous character actor, and he comes over, and he's, like, random, you know, bitching about foreign cars, right? He's like, oh, damn, foreign cars, all garbage, it's like, he's, like, early, again, this movie has so much proto-crap in it, like, one, the Gizmo is proto-Baby Yoda, this guy is your proto, like, crazy conspiracy QAnon people, because he's like, they're intentionally sending them over with faulty parts to destroy America. And he's just like, okay, Mr. Whatever, like, that's real cool, like, I gotta go. And he's, like, trying to drive, like, a Volkswagen Beetle. Like, it's not even, like a random, like, Russian car or something, like, that of the time would be something like, he's like, I'm just trying to get my stupid Beetle to work, and it's not working, so I guess I'll walk to work. Why did he want to drive? I don't know. But maybe because it's snowing. I have no idea. But yeah, he takes his dog with him to the bank where he works. And we're introduced to his girlfriend, Kate, played by Phoebe Cates, who, for those of you that know, Phoebe Cates, a very famous 80s actress, most notably Fast Times at Ridgemont High. If you guys have seen it, you know the scene I'm talking about. It's an awakening for many people. but yeah, he plays his co-worker and sort of crush, I guess, in the beginning of the movie, Kate. And like she's like, oh, you're almost late again and blah, blah, blah. And he brings his dog into the bank and like kind of ties him up under his teller desk, like his bank teller desk. Mm-hmm. And that's when we get kind of introduced to the like really mean lady.
Yeah, the Scrooge of the town.
Oh, my God. Miss Deagle, mm-hmm. played by Polly Holiday, who is just... Oh, they do such a good job making you hate this woman. Because, like, we're introduced to her, like, she's hiking down the road angry. And then we get this great score of, like, dun 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 dun. And she's carrying, like, a severed porcelain snowman head. Mm-hmm. And this, like, woman, or someone says, like, oh, Merry Christmas, Mrs. Deagle, or something. And she goes, what? Or have, or, like, a good day, Mrs. Deagle. And she's like, what's so good about it? Like goes down and they make it kind of clear that she like is some weird like land baron in this town, like she owns a lot of land and rents to a lot of people because like this woman and her two children like stop her in front of the bank and they're basically saying like, hey, like I just got a new job and my husband's doing something else, like we're gonna skip a paycheck or skip like a pay period. They'll get paid anyway, like, in one more week. Can you please let us just pay rent late? And she's like, I'm trying to run a business, something, something. Kind of the same thing that a lot of you people are probably hearing, you know, during the pandemic. Like, a lot of people hear, oh, I'm trying to make a living. You got to pay rent even though no one has a job. Like you know, an asshole would say. And she's like... Oh, okay. And like she storms off into the bank and the kid's just like, I'm so hungry. Like, he's like, I know, me too. And it's just like really sad. Like they make this woman horrible. She like won't take no friend or won't like help anybody. She's like, and of course she lives in like a fucking mansion later on and all this other crap. But she goes in and she's like, this I think is like one of the worst things she does. She goes up to Billy, storms up to his desk, pushes all these people out of the way. And she basically is like, your dog destroyed my weirdly expensive porcelain snowman. This is all that remains is this stupid head. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like a normal person. He's just like, I'm really sorry about that. Like, how much do I owe you? And she's like, I don't care about money. And he's like, what? And she's like, I want your dog. Like, and she says it in this nasty, slimy, like, she, and then she goes into detail about how she will kill, like, literally torture and kill this dog. Yeah. I think she says something to the effect of she'll throw him in her dryer and just set the setting to high. And for some reason, the dude she pushed away out of the way is like, yeah, that'll do it. And I'm like, what? Sir,
yeah,
please. And the dog escapes and, like, knocks the thing that's all chaos and... You know, they run away and she's like, I will get that dog. And like fakes having like a mini heart attack and everyone's like, you know, all over or whatever. And they run off. And then, yeah, you get kind of like just seeing Billy's life. Like he goes over to the small town bar. Phoebe Cates is volunteering there because, of course, Mrs. Deagle wants to take away the lease for the bar. And
oh, jeez.
You get introduced to, I almost forgot about this guy. The like shitty... You remember the shitty coworker? It's played by Judge Reinhold. It's fucking Gerald or whatever. And he's just like, basically like walks up to Billy at the bar. He's like, hey, Billy.
You suck, you jackass.
Like that was essentially the conversation. And then he starts hitting on Phoebe Cates really hard and she denies him. And then, you know, Billy leaves. He goes home. He kind of shown his mom at home with all the shitty Peltzer inventions. Like his last name's Peltzer. And you see his dad's inventions at work and they're not.
Yeah, they're horrible. Woman, she seems so like
she's a hero.
Used to it.
Yeah,
it's hilarious because like I would have blown up, but she's just like, like you know,
yeah.
And then something just like explodes, and she's like, oh okay, like I'll have to tell my husband that it like it's broken again.
It was so like more power to her by all means, but like she was just like, oh. Like, he comes home, and he's like, oh, do you need any help? She's, like, cooking, like, chopping onions or something. And he's like, do you need any help with anything? And she's like, oh, you could crack me some eggs. And he, like, walks over to this funky little chicken machine that has these eggs. And they kind of give a look to each other, and she's just like, And like he just pushes the button and it starts fine, and then all of a sudden it's like, and like all the eggs are just flushed. He goes, "Oh dear, your dad's inventions, they work great for like a day, and then they just stop working." And I'm just like, well, that's not good at all. Like, if that's really consistent, this dude needs to get some more, like, R&D going on with this shit. But she's like, just dump them out in the sink. And that's, like, seven eggs gone. But, yeah, they're talking about, you know, you can actually, something I didn't pick up on when I first saw this as a kid was that, like, you could tell their family's kind of tiptoeing on the edge here. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if Ms. Deagle owns their house, but if she did, they would have some problems. But, you know, it kind of gets her a little happier because now Dad's home. You know, you hear Dad singing as he's coming home.
And so Dad comes home. Everybody's, like, excited. And he's like, "Hey, Billy, I got you something for Christmas." And Billy's like, "Whoa, Dad, what is it? What could it be?"
Gee whiz, girl.
And his dad shows him Mogwai. Which everybody's like, "Whoa, that's so cool. Like, what is it?" And his dad's just explaining, like, "Oh, I got it from, you know, this guy or whatever." And this is the one thing we forgot to mention in the beginning. So there's three rules.
Oh, fuck. How did we forget having, the plot?
I know. It's like the whole plot. But there's basically three rules to taking care of this Mogwai. So after Billy names him, which he names him Gizmo, which is like, it's really adorable.
Yeah.
It's a lovely name. But
absolute.
The dad's just like, "Yeah, so number one, like, I think, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this in order, so I'll just
I think as long as the last one is the last one, you're okay."
Yeah. So first one's just like, don't get water on him.
Yep.
Like, he hates baths or whatever.
Don't give him a bath. Don't give him a bath, anything.
And then the second one is don't let him in direct sunlight because that'll kill him.
Yeah, he's like, he doesn't like lights because he has him dim the lights in the beginning.
Yeah, he doesn't like the lights. And the third one, the most important one.
The one you should never break.
Yeah, is don't let him eat after midnight.
Yep.
And of course, like, they actually take a picture with him, and because of the flash, he's like, "No, bright light,
bright
light."
Yeah, his eyes go crazy. Yeah.
He actually starts saying stuff.
Three.
No.
What happened?
He hates bright lights.
And so Billy's like, "Wow, this is awesome," or whatever. And so that's the beginning of a wonderful friendship.
A two-film pseudo-franchise spanning friendship.
Yeah.
Yes, is created in front of your
dog
eyes.
Is forgotten.
Dog is quickly forgotten. Yeah. He gets one more little comedic bit, and then it's just, goodbye, Barney. You're no longer a thing. Yeah. And he gets him. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, Billy's just kind of hanging out with him, and this other kid, his friend.
Yeah, Corey Feldman, Pete. He's playing a character named Pete.
Yeah, so Pete comes over, and he's just, like, you know, talking with Billy and stuff. And he sees Gizmo, and he's like, "Whoa, what is that?" or whatever. And Billy kind of explains to him, like, "Oh, my dad got him for me for, like, Christmas and stuff." And I think, like, they're, like, painting or something like that. Or Gizmo's near a paint set. Because Gizmo's just, like, doing whatever, like, watching TV and doing all this, like, cute stuff.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's where they put the little race car shot.
Yeah.
There. He's like,
And
it'll come up later, trust me.
Yeah. Unfortunately, what happens, like, is that Gizmo gets water on him. And Billy's just like, "Oh, shit, like, he can't get, like, water on him." And him and Pete, they watch as all these, like, furry little balls come out of Gizmo's back. And it's kind of reminds me of Tribbles, if you've ever seen Star Trek.
Yeah.
They just start making, like, little noises, and they're just these, like, furry-ass balls. And then we see them, like turn into basically a Gizmo.
Yeah, they're, like, more Mogwai.
There's, like, seven new Gizmos now.
Yeah.
And Billy's just like, "Whoa, this is, like, actually kind of cool." And this is where, like, we get introduced to his science teacher, like, or a science teacher at a high school.
Yeah,
because again, we don't know if, like, Billy goes to school, but he just takes. He's like, "Oh, I gotta have, like, so and so see this," or whatever. And so he takes one of them, I think, to the science teacher to mm-hmm. kind of show him what happened. And they kind of rig. Unfortunately, they pour water on this thing or whatever, and it populates even more like gizmos.
Right.
And so,
but see, like, this is where you're introduced to a couple things, right? So, like, because yeah. the dad, he tells the dad, he's like, yeah, this shit happened, dad. Like, what do we do? And his dad's like, being the guy who's kind of having a lot of failed inventions here, he's just sort of like, oh, crap. Like, this could be the one.
Yeah.
Just some water and you have new pet, and you're just like the perfect fucking, the putzler pet or whatever the hell yeah. he calls it. And so, like, he's, like, kind of thinking, oh, I could sell this.
Yeah.
And so Billy takes it. Yeah, this science teacher confuses. It's got to be high school, right? Because later we see him teaching, like, yeah. kids. So Billy takes it, like, his local high school, I guess. Because they kind of imply that Billy is, like, the breadwinner in his family. Mm-hmm. Like, his dad's not the most successful. So Billy's kind of the one making all the money. So I guess he's not in college. Because he wants to be an artist.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing, was he really wanted to be an artist. Which you get in the second movie, but we're not talking about the second movie today. And so, like, yeah, he goes to the science teacher guy, and he's like, yeah, check this out. And this is where, like, the science of this starts to get introduced, right? Because he drips one, like, drop, like, from a little, like, dropper
mm-hmm.
onto whatever. I guess they don't have names. Only yeah. Stripe has a name. The other ones don't have names yeah. in this movie. Drips one on this funky gremlin. Or the model.
Yeah,
eye.
The eyes are like too close together or right. some shit.
He drips it on this like goofy Mogwai, and like one drop seems to equal one Mogwai mm-hmm. spawn, because only one pops out. And then the science teacher's like, can I keep the new one? You take Goofy Eye back home. I'm going to keep him, run some tests. And he's like, sure. And he lets him keep him. And like, it's just such a strange, like, no one seems concerned that this little, like, fluffy humanoid, like, troll creature just spawns asexually when submitted to water.
Yeah.
And I think they do cover this in the second movie, is, like, he tries to explain the rules to, like, two security guards, and they're trying to poke holes in it, and they're mm-hmm. like, they're like, what happens if they get food stuck in their teeth that they ate at 11:30, but they don't get it out of their teeth until 12:15? Does that mean they become the thing? And then it's like, what do they do when it rains? Like, these kinds of things. And I'm like, these are valid questions.
Yeah.
Like, what was this creature doing before the Chinese merchant man procured it?
Yeah. Oh, they probably toppled civilizations.
I have no doubt. I mean, but, like, there must be, like, a more lore here. Like, yeah. somewhere in China, there was, like a war against the yeah. Mogwai.
But anyway, yeah. funny enough, means devil.
Yeah,
so.
Mogwai just means devil. And I don't know, it seems like a shitty name to get. You, like, the Chinese man knows, right? Does it mean devil in Chinese?
Yes.
See, so, like, the Chinese man called this thing devil. And the kid, who arguably must know, at least understand Chinese, whether he could speak it or not, but, like, he must understand it. So, like, he doesn't bother to tell the dude, like, oh, that means devil. Like, this is a bad thing.
Not when it's singing.
No, because it's cute in the beginning. And the kid's so dismissive. Oh, that's just a Mogwai. And I'm like, just a Mogwai. Like, just a... really a mythical creature just mm-hmm. chilling in your fucking grandpa's shop. But yeah, so he takes the scientist and the science teacher, and then he goes home, and this is like where you start getting the gremlins being, you get hints that they're not, because Gizmo looks visibly upset
yeah.
that he spawned more Mogwai.
Yeah.
And you start to see that they're really earning the name gremlins, because they're really mischievous. They're evil. Like yeah. they're not good. Like, in the very beginning, like, one bites Corey Feldman's finger, and he's like, oh, they look kind of cute. Yeah. I can get one now. It's like, and he's like, oh, never mind. I don't want this. And just, again, dismisses the thing and goes yeah. back to, like, reading a comic book.
And they're just kind of, like, messing around and, like, just being, like, dicks, basically.
They string the dog up with Christmas lights.
Yeah, like, in the middle of the night. Yep. And, of course, Billy's just like, who the fuck would do this? And, like,
they think it's the lady.
Yeah, of course they think it's the lady. And they're just like, why would she do this? Like, whatever.
How? She's an old woman.
Yeah.
Was she lifting this, like, 50-pound dog? Exactly.
And so what ends up happening, of course, like, you know, you can kind of follow, like, based on the rules, what's going to happen.
You got three acts. Like, we're going with this.
So the Mogwai replicates, they are, like, begging for food.
So and, Star Trek of you. The yeah. Mogwai replicants are there some begging yeah, replicants.
They're begging for food, and Billy's like, oh, okay, it's, like, you know, 20 minutes, like, or something like that before, like, midnight.
Yeah, he looks at the clock, and they clearly yeah. show it's, like, 11:40 or something.
Yeah, and
like
he's
that.
Like, okay, I think you can have something. Goes downstairs, take this whole fucking plate of,
dude,
like,
there are 20 wings
drumsticks, yeah. And he's just like, here you go. And they just, like,
oh, I hate this
they
scene
eat
so
all
much.
Of it. It's disgusting. It's so disgusting.
Of all of it. If you're listening to this and you've seen this movie, then, like, obviously you know what happened. I mean, it's a movie from 1984, so sorry, spoilers. We haven't said it already, but, like, you know, when they metamorphosize later in the film is nothing compared to the disgusting eating of these fucking chicken wings. And just, like, watching these up... It's up close. It's in the puppet's yeah. face. And they're like... And I'm like, the mouth noise! It's like a mukbang with monsters. It's horrible. And of course, Gizmo declines politely that he does not want any chicken.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, was Gizmo wise to this? Or do you think Gizmo just wasn't hungry?
I think Gizmo just wasn't hungry. Okay. I mean, he was like doing something cute. Like,
he's reading a book.
Yeah, he was reading a book.
Which he could read.
Yeah.
How smart yeah. are these creatures?
But they end up going to sleep and... It kind of switches back to the high school teacher who it's like 2 o'clock in the morning or some shit like that. And he's like, oh, looks like it's time to go. And he leaves behind a sandwich and the thing in the cage is like, you know, obviously yum, gets a hold of it. Yum. And then it cuts to in the morning.
Mom. Yeah.
Yeah. There's these alien looking fucking like
pods.
Yeah, pods.
It looks like the eggs from Ridley Scott's Alien. Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, Mom? And they're both just kind of like, what the hell are those? And like, where are the other Mogwai?
Yeah, like, it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. No, I actually like that sequence where it goes back and forth between him giving the drumsticks to the Mogwai and to the scientist.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the way they did that because they like framed the clock in the shot like well enough to where you can read the time, but it's not too overbearing. And like you're meant to understand that these things are happening at the same time, right? Because like he's sitting there and all the Mogwai are like bitching, screaming at him. And he's like, all right. And he's like, looks at the clock and he's like, okay, it's 11:30. Like, I'll go feed you. And I think they like show him walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts to the scientist or the science teacher and it shows the clock. And like you said, it's like 2:30 in the morning or mm-hmm. something like that. And he says something to the effect of like, ah, you almost got me. I'm not going to give you no food. And then he leaves for the night. And then we cut back to Billy getting the chicken. And we realize like the viewer, if you're like paying attention on another watch through, it's like, oh shit. Like as the viewer, we're just told, hey, it's after midnight.
Oh God.
Something's wrong. And then, yeah, you get the whole, they turn into eggs, which doesn't seem like anyone does anything about it. Like he just kind of goes to the school after that because the science teacher also has a gremlin pod.
Yeah.
But like the mom just. I don't know, leaves. Like, she's just like, well, there's these fucking nasty egg things upstairs.
Yeah, and she just goes back downstairs doing whatever. And so him and the science teacher, like, they're kind of just like, oh, yeah, we need to, like, investigate this or whatever.
Right.
And science teacher is like, I'll let you know if anything comes up. Like, I'll run some tests or whatever.
Yeah, because Corey Feldman's there, too, again.
Yeah.
For some reason. He doesn't need to go to school, I guess. Like, whatever. And he's just like, yeah, it's metamorphosizing. It's a pupa. It's a pupal stage. And I'm like, shouldn't we be concerned? This is gross.
So what ends up happening now gets to the good part, which is with these gremlins hatching.
Oh my God. So much good parts in this movie after the gremlins come out. Like when the mom goes all Rambo on these fucking things in the kitchen. One of my favorite scenes in this whole movie, but we'll get there.
Yeah. Like, so high school teacher just gets fucking killed. After teaching a class, I guess, like, he notices, like, the cage or something has literally, like, exploded or, like,
the pod's
it's empty.
Gone.
Yeah, the pod is gone. And he's like, oh shit. And so he's looking all over for it, and he like leans underneath like a table or whatever.
Right.
And he gets like pulled in, and he just like dies or whatever. They like
feel, because earlier in the film he takes a blood sample.
Yeah.
And the Mogwai apparently took exception to this, because what happens, the way the Mogwai kills him is he takes like an empty hypodermic needle, sticks it in his ass, and just pumps it full of air. And it kills him, I guess, like, because it gets you, because, like, it's like if you hit a vein and you stick air,
gets
a bubble, it kills you, right?
Gotcha.
And then Billy goes to school and finds him fucking dead.
Yeah.
And then has a little fight with the gremlin, who you get, like, kind of a reveal of is now this horrible lizard-looking monster, like a scaly version of Gizmo.
Yeah.
And he's like, holy shit, what did I just fucking see?
Yeah.
And then he realizes, oh shit, there's, like, four more of these fucking things, or five more of these fucking things at home. So he keeps trying to call his mom, and his mom like goes up to his bedroom.
Yeah, because she hears noises.
Right, because they all woke up.
Yeah.
And she's like, Billy, is that you? And she's like going up there, and Billy's like trying to call to be like, Mom, get out of the house. This movie descends into a horror movie real fucking quick. Like, it starts out with like this, you think it's going to be kind of just like this story about maybe some stuff going wrong. We got to fight some little gremlin monsters, but it goes into some gross territory. I learned when we were watching this that apparently this and Indiana Jones Temple of Doom are the reasons we have a PG-13 rating. Because this movie is rated PG, and by all rights, it should not be PG.
Yeah.
Like, this is a gory movie.
Yeah, and like, she is ready to kill, because she grabs a knife, and she's just like, basically going upstairs, she sees that like, the cocoons have like, they're just,
deflated.
And deflated, gone, and there's nothing in there. And so she goes back downstairs, and she goes into the kitchen because she starts hearing stuff. And of course, there are these like
monsters eating the cake.
Yeah. And she just like starts going at it, like just killing them in a blender or like
in a
microwave.
I love the microwave.
Basically, however she can like get these guys.
She straight up Michael Myers one.
Yeah.
One of them. Like the first one's like eating cake batter she's making. She like tips it into the bowl and like just cranks it to 11, and it just the egg beater just rips him to shreds. Tricks one into a microwave, just cranks it to high, lets it fucking go, and then she literally just grabs like a chef's knife and just starts fucking hacking at one of them, and she's just standing there with like this blue blooded knife like and I'm like, wow, this woman has got, she probably needs to talk to somebody.
Because
A, after that, you're going to be traumatized. And B, I feel like it wasn't just about the gremlins here. Like, I think there's a lot of pent-up rage about the husband. Because the dad, by the way, also went to a inventors conference somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, far away during Christmas Eve. And I do like that shot when she's on the phone with him. And you have, like, Robbie the robot walk. He's like, he's holding his little bathroom buddy that has, like, a toothbrush and a razor and shit in it. And then it's like, he's like, a lot of people, a lot more people had a lot more advanced stuff than I was expecting. The robot. In the background, you have, like, the classic H.G. Wells time machine is there. I love that because it's, like, there. And there's these two people watching this man on the little bicycle thing. Then it cuts back to the mom. Mom says some shit. Cuts back to the dad. In the background, the time machine's gone. There's smoke coming up off the ground. And the two people's minds are just blown that the time machine man disappeared. And it's just funny because it's like, they're like, hey, what do we got in the sci-fi backlot here at Universal Studios? Let's just shove it in the shot. So that was fun. But yeah, like the mom going Rambo on these fucking gremlins was awesome. Loved it. And I think Billy comes home and like finds her.
Well, the thing is, she misses one, and it's in the Christmas tree, and so she's, like, you know, trying to find it, and it starts, like, attacking her in
with
the tree.
With the tree, holy shit.
And this is when Billy does come home, and he helps her to basically, like, kill this last one.
Right, by throwing it in the fucking fire. Yep. And watching it just incinerate.
Yeah.
Which that reminds me, that's why Corey Feldman was there, because he was the tree delivery boy.
Yeah.
He hauled a tree across town for some reason.
That's right, And so Billy's just like, you know what? I'm just going to take you to the next door neighbors. I want you to stay here. And they don't even say anything.
There's like, Dr. Like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Watch my mom.
And they're like, okay. And the mom's just like, you know, obviously shaken up. And he's like, I'll go deal with this mom. Like,
yeah.
So So he ends up going back to the high school, but this is where... No.
He's tracking Stripe.
Yeah, he's tracking Stripe, which leads to the pool. Oh, like at the local YMCA or whatever. And he sees that like someone obviously like broke in, and then he sees like the pool. Somehow the girl ends up coming with him.
No, so what happened was Kate's not there yet. Oh, okay. So what happens is Stripe, they didn't get all the gremlins. Yeah. Stripe is still there. And Billy sees him and he smashes the window, runs away before Billy can get him. And so Billy puts Gizmo in his backpack, and they get like they take a sword because Billy like grabbed his sword or something, and they're basically on this quest to hunt down Stripe.
Yeah,
and he's like tracking him like hunter style, like through the snow, follows him to the high school where Stripe has broken into the high school pool, and Billy gets there just too late because Stripe like looks at him and he's like, hey, 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 I'm like. Throws himself into the pool, and the pool starts lighting and bubbling, and like, you know, nastiness is starting to happen. And Billy's like, oh, fuck. And, you know, gets out of there, and the gremlins just start. There's like thousands of them. Yeah,
you get this kind of like, this mishmash of basically like all of them attacking different people, including that really Mrs. Scrooge.
Oh my God.
Yes. I love that part.
This whole thing is crazy because it starts out at first where it's, Dick Miller's character, the neighbor, Mr. Futterman, and he, like, because earlier he was all drunk and he was complaining that he opened up his American-made tractor to only to find it full of foreign parts, and he's, like, really upset about it.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, sitting at home watching TV with his wife, and then, like, the gremlins attack, you know, like,
they attack. Yeah, with the tractor, oh, and they both, it just, like...
They kill them! Yeah! They murder these people!
It's not like these people get away or something. No, they literally run them over with the tractor.
And they're like, what if... The cops are like, oh, it's a freak accident, because cops haven't picked up on it yet.
And then what happens next is, Mrs., like...
Yeah, Mrs. Whatever her name Deagle.
Deagle, yeah. She is in her house with, like, dozens of cats, of course, crazy cat lady.
All of the cats, I didn't catch this all of the cats' names are different kinds of currency, but it's like really weird because she's like, oh, drachma, I love you so much. And I was like, what? And then she's like, what are you doing, Kopeck? And I was like, what the fuck? And then she's like, oh, good old US dollar bill.
Yeah.
And like, it, the way, I don't know if this is actually the name, but like in the subtitles, it put quotes around the names of the cats. And instead of just being like dollar or bill or even dollar bill as the name, it's good old dollar bill is the whole name of this fucking animal. And of course, it's her favorite. Yeah. So like, you know, whatever. And she's in this crazy cat lady mansion.
Yeah.
Where she has a what are the, I don't know what you call those things, little wheelchair things that go up the stairs.
Yeah.
She has one of those because that's where we see her descending her grand staircase on this chair thing.
And so... Of course, one of the gremlins, like, gets in.
They're Christmas caroling.
Yeah.
And she is prepared to throw water on fucking...
But then she notices, of course, they're not people. It's these monster-looking things. And she freaks out. And so she has all these locks on her doors. And she's, like, trying to lock up. And they're still singing out there.
Right.
And, of course, there's one that's in the house. And she tries to go up the stairs, but it, like, fucks with, like, the...
fuck the chair up.
Yeah, fucks the chair up, and she just flies out the top, the window on the second floor.
Words don't do this justice.
And she dies.
This scene, when I was a kid and we watched this, as horrible as maybe it made me and my friends, we thought this scene was the funniest fucking thing in the world. We would rewind this scene and watch it, because just, like... The gremlin, like, yanks some wires and, like, and, like, moves away. And she's like, oh, God, my heart, my heart. She sits in the chair, like, slams the button. And the thing goes, like, speeds up. She's, like, trying to stop it and just gets shot out the second story window
in front of the cops. Chair.
Yeah, and, like, lands next to them. And they're just like, what the fuck? Like, something's going on. And the... Gremlins are like all over a Santa Claus, like ripping him to shreds. Yeah, and
they're in mailboxes.
Yeah, no, it's all kind of because they all doubted Billy.
Yeah.
Right? Like Billy goes to the cops to try to stop him after the Stripe thing in the pool, and they don't believe him.
Yeah.
And then they get a call that Mr. Futterman got run over by his tractor. And this goes to 11 because I think the next thing you see is this really neat little stop motion shot where like Stripe like walks up the hill in like the main drag of their downtown, and he's like rah rah, and then all these like thousands of gremlins just come marching down the street behind him, and they're just terrorizing the town at this point. Like,
yeah,
I think they because they, and this is where he gets Kate, because she's in the bar.
Yeah,
and they're all patroning the bar like as patrons of the bar. Like they're just being rowdy, but like for some reason she's bartending them.
Yeah.
Which makes me think one of the bartenders didn't survive. Like, she was there, and the other bartender was like, get out of my place! And they were like, and like, killed her. So out of fear, she is, like, pouring them drinks and lighting cigarettes and whatnot.
And she ends up running out.
Yeah, she uses a camera to, like, use the flash.
Yeah.
And I think, Billy doesn't crash the wall, right? He just, like, turns his high beams on, because he gets his car to work.
Yeah.
Or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they try to get back in, and the car doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And they run away.
Yeah, and so they take refuge in the bank, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's
and
the bank.
And this is where we get the crazy-ass story.
Oh, my God. This
from
has
his girlfriend.
This has no reason to be in the film.
Yeah, this is not PG.
Like, it also has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, and she's like, it totally reminded me of Scream, because it was kind
You're
of like,
right.
Yeah.
It does remind me of, holy shit. Okay, so
you
like, just to
know
preface.
Why I hate,
no,
like.
Yeah, like, just to preface this, like, earlier in the film, she shits all over Billy for liking Christmas and doesn't explain why. And that's the only setup we get for this, and it has nothing to do with the plot, but we have to tell you what this fucking crazy story is. So, Amber, please, why does fucking Phoebe Cates hate Christmas in this film?
So she's like, when I was younger, I loved Christmas. I was all about it. And I guess she's also an only child. But basically what happened was their dad like went away or something on business. And or he just went somewhere. And he was like, but I'll be back like for Christmas or whatever.
Right.
And they, you know, Christmas comes and her and her mom, like, nothing. There's no dad.
Right.
No call or anything. And then it turns into days. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, okay, like, what, you know, they were really worried about him. And so I guess they, like, lit the fireplace or something like that. But they noticed
cold,
there was,
yeah,
because it was cold. But they noticed that there was a weird smell come from the fireplace. And so they called, like, a
fireman.
Yeah, a fireman or something to see if maybe there was a dead cat or like animal in there or something. Turns out it wasn't a dead animal. It was her fucking dad. And he was dressed up in a Santa suit. Apparently thought it would be cool to come down the chimney to pretend to be Santa for his kid. Ended up breaking his neck.
Yep.
And they
died
just,
instantly
and
got stuck in the fucking chimney
for
weeks. They're like, it was weeks.
Yeah.
Of this. What the fuck?
Yeah, like, who like, the fuck thought that would be okay to...
That's the thing. This movie, like, toots the Steven Spielberg horn a lot more than it does the Joe Dante one. Even, like, it doesn't even... It's like Chris Columbus, by the way, director of Harry Potter 1 and 2, might I add, wrote this film. So... Like, he gets the writing credit here, and I think they really go, like, Steven Spielberg presents Gremlins, even though he's, like, a producer on the film, which is a thing, obviously, but you don't get a lot of Joe Dante or Chris Columbus here. But it's, like, which one of them, of these three compadres here, was like, hey, you know what we really need? Tragedy. Like, a real horrible tragedy.
Yeah.
And like, but does it do anything to the film? It's like, no, but maybe it'd just be cool if Phoebe Cates fucking hates Christmas. We gotta give her a reason to really hate what is some people would argue is the happiest time of year. This, it has, and it doesn't do anything. Like, it doesn't like it's come back around. You don't have like Phoebe Cates like slide down a chimney and blow two gremlins away or something. Like, she just has this dead dad and it's awkward as fuck. And you can clearly tell that Billy's just like, well, I wasn't expecting that on top of everything today. Like, shit, I don't know what to say to that. And we kind of just barrel through and move back on with the movie after that weird beat. And they even go so far as to be like, yeah, he slipped and broke his neck. Died instantly. But he was up there for a few days. I'm like, was there a cut of this film where he didn't say he died instantly, and the viewer was just left to wonder if he tragically just slowly died in the chimney or something, because this is fucking horrible. Like, this is... How do you even get down a chimney? They're not that big. I feel like you... A normal man, let alone one in a Santa costume, is not making it down the chimney.
Yeah.
Like, period. You're not even getting in the hole. You gotta be a relatively small... I don't know. It's dumb. It's dumb and it's tragic and it's way too much for this fucking movie. It's
way too dark.
So dark. Not that this movie isn't, but they do run off, and I think this is where they get out into the town after they think all the gremlins are gone, and they're like, where would they go? And Billy's like, I guess somewhere dark. And this is where they just, like, go to the movie theater. Like, they see one in the concession stand, and they run into the movie theater, and they're, like, watching Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah, and they're singing and
fucking love it. They're like, hi-ho, hi-ho. And they're, like, and you got, like, a movie theater of, like, 1,000 gremlins just singing along, and they're all, like, tantalized by this fucking film. And he's like, they're watching Snow White. And they love it. And I'm like, this isn't a Disney movie. Yeah. What the fuck is going on? I actually Googled after we watched that scene. I couldn't really find anything. Like, there was nothing that said why Snow White? Why not, like, any Universal property of the time? Like it would have been something to be either watching, like, Dracula or Frankenstein. Like, anything of the time. But I guess, like, no. Universal was like, we're going to fucking steal this Disney movie. So yeah, they do that, and that's when Billy and Kate get the idea, like, let's just burn down the movie theater. Like, let's just incinerate these fuckers. And they do. They, like, light the whole place on fire and kill them all, except, of course,
Stripe.
Yeah. Who left because there was no more food at the concession stand, and he saw a very general store. This store sells everything, as we'll see in a minute. Whistling candy.
Yeah.
And he goes across the street and he's like filling himself up with candy. And then he sees, you know, the movie theater's on fire and all of his brethren are dead. And then he sees Billy and he's like, I'm going to kill him. And they see him and they chase after him and we get the showdown, the final climactic battle in the general store.
Yeah. And so I think we also get Gizmo and the dog, right? Who are just kind of like also, I don't know how they get there.
I think, but Billy's like, wait here, and gives Gizmo to Kate.
Yeah. And he basically goes to track down Stripe, which this was like really creepy because he enters this like botanical garden side of the store or whatever, or the plant side. Yeah. And the thing he's like looking for, and then it just like appears like, I don't know, like coming out of the bushes or something. It's like, Billy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it says his name.
He comes at him with like a hacksaw or something, or a chainsaw, and he's like chasing him around the store, and he's like trying to fight it with a bat.
And then like
he has like a little gremlin sized crossbow for a minute for some reason,
like shooting at him.
He successfully lands a shot in Billy's arm, and I'm like, wow, this movie.
And Gizmo's just like, I gotta do something. So he starts like getting in his car and he's like driving.
I love it so much. I love it.
And he manages to, I think, hit Stripe with this car or something like that.
Because Stripe is on top. If I remember, like, first off, it's great because, like, Gizmo gets in the car and it zooms into his face the same exact way it's shot in the old black and white movie he's watching in the beginning. And he just hears, he's like, a certain kind of dame needs a certain kind of fella. And he's like, like, drives this little RC car. And then he hits, like, a coat rack. That he's still, because like,
oh no, he's gonna he opens the blinds. That's what happens. It like he goes on this thing that kind of like makes the car and like him go into the air, and he like opens the blinds so that way the sunlight comes through and it ends up killing Stripe because there's a water fountain there. And so he's like, oh, I'm just gonna jump in the water fountain. We can start this all over again, bitch.
That's really, because he gets a gun. This store sells everything. Yeah, he also has a gun. Like, everything is in this because he finds a gun in the store and he's shooting at Billy now with a fucking like revolver. And then he sees the fountain and he's like, I can make it all start again. And he looks at Billy and he's like, Billy. And he's like going to dip his finger in. And then, yeah, Gizmo does the bitchin' like ramp thing, flings himself, grabs the curtain cord, and I think the car like explodes or something, which is weird. And then like he pulls the cord, it comes up and it starts frying Stripe.
Yeah.
As Kate and Billy's dad.
Yeah. Because
the dog goes and finds Billy's dad. That's what the dog wound did.
Gotcha.
Arrive on the scene, and then you get like the most horrific of horror scenes, like in this movie with the fountain.
Yeah. I know. And you see like that it's bubbling, you're like, ah shit, they didn't get him in time. And he ends up like, I don't know, like his skeleton like is all goopy, and it gets like thrown from the fountain, and it's just like it's just really goopy.
It's like it's he's disgusting. Not dead.
Yeah. Like he's still alive, but like barely. And so then they're finally just like, okay, he's dead.
Yeah, you because watch
he
like
ends
his
up just deflate. Turning into goo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're like, all right, time to go. And so they leave with Gizmo and everybody, and they're back at Billy's house. Everything's all fine. Mm-hmm. Fine. Yeah, even though several people died.
But the news is like writing it off like people are crazy after a gas leak and whatever the fuck. Something falls that one was called. Something falls, and he's just like, people saying little green men are all, they were all just high. They were all crazy, and it was a riot, and they burned their own town to the ground. And it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And then this is where
the Chinese fellow shows up.
The Chinese store owner, he comes and he's like, I want Mogwai back. Like, you weren't meant to have him.
Right.
And here's your $200. And
oh my God,
he's like, I want him back. And the dad's just like, no, like, please just let us have him. And mm-hmm. he's like, no, because you fucked up.
He's like, look at your TV. I do like it because he's like, the mom. By the way, the mom, I just found out, plays Marty McFly's mom's mom, like Marty McFly's technical grandma in Back to the Future. Gotcha. Like, she's like, Marty, do I know your mother? She looks so familiar.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I couldn't place it when we were watching. I was like, she looks so familiar. And I'm like, oh, that's why. Cause she's like, oh, maybe you should spend the night. Cause he's like, oh, honey, I got this. This is the man that sold me the Mogwai. He's like, sold you the Mogwai. Ha! And I'm like, yeah, I was right. Your grandkid fucking stole the damn thing. But yeah, it's this whole, like, man can't handle, you think you have control over nature, but you don't. And, like, you're not ready for the Mogwai. And he's like, look what you fucking did. And mm-hmm. he can talk to the Mogwai, though, which is kind of cool. He talks to Gizmo.
Yeah.
And he's like, there was a box! I'm like, I'm not leaving with my fucking box!
Yeah. And so... Guy basically takes Gizmo away, but not before Gizmo's like, I want to say something.
Yeah.
And the guy's just like, oh, Mogwai wants to say something to you. And
motions of course to Billy.
Billy. And Gizmo's just like, bye, Billy. It's so cute.
It's heartbreaking, man.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you hear like Gizmo like, and he's like, what? And he's like, he wants to say something to you. And like, Billy's like, to me, and he walks up and he's like, bye, Billy. And then like the music's playing in the background.
Yeah.
He's like, doo, 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 and he like closes the thing. And then the guy says, like, one day, you know, you'll be ready. Like, you, Billy, will be ready for the Mogwai.
Yeah.
He's like, and when you're ready, like, the Mogwai will be waiting for you. And like, he walks away and you get this nice shot of him walking down the road with another fucking voiceover from the dad.
Yeah.
Which is like, again, we spend so long in this movie not having a voiceover that he's just like, and that's why the next time you think you hear a, you know, rumble in the dark, or your car don't start right in the morning, or your blender's on the fritz, make sure you turn on all the lights, make sure you lock all the doors and windows. Because you never know when a gremlin, your house has a gremlin or something. And it's like, dun, 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 dun. It goes into the scary theme and then it's over. Like, that's the movie.
Yeah.
It's over, Anakin! I have the high ground!
What'd you think? On this, I guess, rewatch. I don't know how long it's been for you since you've watched this movie. It's been a long time for me since I've seen Gremlins.
Yeah, it's been a while for me.
Like, I knew I was definitely... I was definitely not living in Chicago last time I saw this movie. So, it's been a while.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the rewatch? On the rewatch, I guess.
I thought it was...
Interesting. I guess better or worse than you remember?
It's probably better because I didn't realize how gory it was going to be.
So much better because of the violence.
Dark it was going to be. And I was like, I don't know, it's just humorous to me as an adult. But it probably just like flew over my head as a kid.
Yeah, as a kid, it just kind of was.
Yeah.
Like the tone
of
the
movie. I don't remember that until like I watched it and I was like, oh shit, I do remember that. But I remember like how dark this was.
I remember being bored. Like when Kate's like, yeah, my dad fucking died in this thing in my chimney or whatever. Like I remember just being like, whoa, that stinks.
Oh, dang.
And now I'm like, oh my God, why is this happening right now? Like, why do I need to know this? Yeah, I think for me, I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. And like, you know, like as an adult, like there's little things like cinematically, like we've covered a lot of movies. So you start noticing this stuff after a while, like the clock thing, right? Mm-hmm. Where you get told as the viewer, like, hey, it's not 11:30. It's like 2:00 in the morning.
Yeah.
That's cool. Like it's clever because even if you don't notice it, you still know something's up, right? By the way, the gremlins chewed through his clock's like power cable. I don't know if we actually said that. They like fucked up the clock. But yeah, I liked it. I'm probably enjoyed it more as a kid. But I mean, like, there's a lot of nostalgia here for this film, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the second one?
Probably, but I could tell you what it was
about. You can't remember?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to say, which do you prefer, the second one or this one? If memory serves, I think I like this one better. But, you know, I haven't seen the second one in probably just as long since I haven't seen the first one.
You know, does the second one have female ones?
Yeah, the second one is the one where they go... There's a great Key and Peele sketch about it. But it's... They go... He's, like, working. He's, like, an architect or something. And or a designer. And they somehow... The company he works for gets a hold of Gizmo and, like, makes a bunch of gremlins. And the gremlins, like, splice themselves. Like, one's a bat.
Yeah.
One's electricity. One's a woman. One's super smart.
Oh...
Yeah, it's kind of a, like, they're all trapped in a building kind of type thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's
goofy. I remember, like, the second one was not very good.
It's fun, but, like, it's not, like, I don't feel like it's as cohesive as this movie.
Gotcha.
But it's something, maybe a future episode or maybe just a holiday watch, who knows. But speaking of holidays and having questions, I got 3 final questions for you today, Amber. Are you prepared?
Yes.
Alrighty, so, 1, as per usual, out of 10, what are you giving? Steven Spielberg Presents, a film by Joe Dante, Gremlins. Would you suggest people watch it? And then, of course, 4, are connected to Christmas theme. Is this film a Christmas movie? Or is it just a movie that happens to be around Christmas? Keeping in mind, this film came out in July. It was supposed to come out around Christmas, and then the studio realized there would be no competition in July and released it in July. Which is probably good, because the movie is long-lasting.
So, my score for this movie would be like a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay.
So, it's okay. It's not my favorite. I don't think like... When I think back on movies I watched as a kid, this is probably not my favorite. Like, I can think of other ones I'm like, whoa, this was, like, really good. Especially when it comes to, like, Christmas movies. Like, this is not that
great, I definitely don't think I ever watched this movie around Christmas.
Yeah, like, it was not, like, really, like, something I would watch around Christmas or, like, just in general, like, as a kid movie. Second... I would suggest people watch it because it's kind of like one of those like classics.
Oh, yeah.
I guess you could say. Yeah. Especially like if you compare it to like Indiana Jones and stuff like that, like those types of films that came out like back in the day.
Yeah.
Like
those really long standing like 80s movies that had that kind of cultural impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, gremlins are pretty cute. Like, even though the movie, like, the storyline may be a little bit, like, the actual, I remember people were, like, obsessed with gremlins. And, like, when the toy actually came out.
Yeah, when they revived the toys, it was, like, a thing.
Yeah. And then third, is this considered a Christmas movie?
Yeah, would you consider this a Christmas movie? Your personal nostalgia aside, mm-hmm. watching this film in 2021 yeah. as an adult woman, would you call Gremlins a Christmas movie? Or is it just a movie that happens to take place around Christmas?
It is not a Christmas movie.
It's not?
No.
No?
It's just, yeah, there's just a lot of, like, violence. I mean, okay, sorry, take that back, because I think of Krampus.
That's a Christmas movie.
That is a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
You're dealing with the fucking demon.
Right.
That's like...
But it's Christmas. Like, it's the point of it is Christmas. Yeah.
I think it just takes place around Christmas, even though they added that weird shit with, like, Billy's girlfriend and her dad dressed as Santa. I think that just, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like that was like an extra thread to Christmas that didn't work. Yeah,
it was that extra thread that, like, didn't need to be there, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see your point. I think I agree with you on this. This is not a Christmas movie. This is a movie. I mean, this movie could take place on Halloween and it would work just fine. Like, a dad comes home with a gift for his kid and all hell breaks loose on Halloween. I mean, like, arguably you could have a better movie around Halloween with that. And you don't need to have Phoebe Cates' dad die in a horrible Halloween-related accident. I don't think this is a Christmas movie. I think it's, of course, it's perfectly fine to watch whatever you like around Christmas. We watch Lord of the Rings, and there's nothing Christmas about that at all around Christmas time. But this one, like, I remember distinctly watching this movie, like, more on Halloween than anything when I was a kid. Like, I remember, like, one year getting, like, a bunch of scary movies from Blockbuster, you know, good old Blockbuster for you guys born in the anything pre-2000. We went to Blockbuster, we rented a bunch of scary movies, and, like, as a sort of, like, palate cleanse, kind of taking the edge off, we would rent this one too. And so we'd watch, like, things like Poltergeist and stuff, and then we'd watch, like, Gremlins, because it's still got that vibe, that tone, but it's not, like, make you piss yourself scary or something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah, I don't think it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I would rate this movie, though I think I would honestly rate this movie like 8.5 out of 10. Okay. I like this movie a lot. Like, it's hard to take off the nostalgia glasses, but I do really like this movie. I think it keeps itself really tight, aside from the weird Phoebe Cates thing, which kind of stops the movie dead. I don't like that, so definitely taking some points off for it. But, like, the rest of the movie's pretty straightforward. You get served up in the beginning, like, hey, here's the three rules. Don't fucking break them. And it's like, obviously we will break these rules before the movie's over. It's just like, it tells you, like, hey, this is what you do and this is what's going to happen. And it just kind of goes through and does them. It doesn't take, as far as the gremlin-related shit goes, it doesn't take too long to do it all to where you're like, man, this movie is long, like... How long even is this movie? This movie can't be... Yeah, it's barely an hour and a half. It's a little over an hour and a half. It's an hour 45. You don't really feel it. Like, you're just like, okay, it's done. And it feels organic. It just feels over. And it's a movie that, like, it's cool that it got a sequel, but it definitely didn't need it. Like, it ends on kind of a little cliffhanger with a hopeful bit to it. I would totally say watch this movie. I mean, this movie still has cultural impact today. Shit references it all the time. Like, honestly, just educate yourself and watch the film. Do yourself a service. Like, at least watch it once so you understand, like, don't feed him after midnight as a joke. I totally would suggest this one. But hopefully we can get to the bottom of what actually makes a Christmas movie a Christmas movie, because I'm...
What is
the meaning of Christmas movies? Because it's like, some of them have a clear distinction. Like, Santa Claus, Christmas movie. Gremlins, I don't think it's a Christmas movie. But you know what? Let us know what you guys think. We're on all kinds of social media. We try to stay pretty active on there. Check us out. So What Happens Next. Really across the board. Twitter, Instagram, even Facebook. We still have a half-assed Facebook page going because nobody uses Facebook anymore. Or Meta. I don't know what the hell they want to be called now. They're not sponsoring the shows. Who cares? Yeah, you know, reach out. Also, our website, swhn19.com. Reach out. Let us know what you think. Is Gremlins a Christmas movie? Is it not? Like, where do you stand on this divide? And did you even like this movie? Did you grow up with this movie? Or is this the first you're hearing about it? And do you maybe want to check it out? Also, check out our other episodes whenever you like on Spotify, Anchor, our website again. You know, wherever you get your podcasts, go and look up So What Happens Next and enjoy. We are, you know, jumping into Christmas. Last month we did medieval movies for the most part. Yeah, so we hope you enjoyed this episode. Unlike our other episodes, usually this is the part where I ask Amber, hey, Amber, what are we doing next week? We are kind of leaving this one up in the air this month. Everything's like, it's like, you know, getting the gifts under the tree, you know? So we'll let you know what the next week, we'll give you some hints come Monday, what our next episode is going to be. But until then, I am one of your hosts, Thomas.
I'm Amber.
And this is So What Happens Next Small Screens. You guys have a great day. See you guys next time.